Then on Christmas Day, we'll also have something special, so we're looking forward to that. So the choir will be practicing today, adult choir, at the 12:30 mark. Continue to pray for our Christmas programs and our ESL contacts. There will be a luncheon this coming Saturday for the ladies. It's the Christmas Ladies Lunch, Saturday, December 3rd, here at the chapel at 11:30 in the morning. Gloria Edgecombe will share the Christmas message with us. And there is a sign-up sheet on the rear table under the clock. Please sign there if you're able to join for that Christmas program. They're also looking for a few good men to help in the kitchen. If you're able to help, please speak to Shirley or Barb. There's an emphasis, I think, there on the word good, but we're hoping that there'll be some help for the ladies at that time. We're going to have some Christmas programs this year, and so a couple of announcements regarding special Christmas events. First of all, Sunday school Christmas practices. I'm going to read you what we've got here. It says, how many Sunday school scholars are we? Do we have? How many parents of Sunday school scholars? We've got announcements for you all. We hope you will be here for the children's Christmas program, Sunday, December the 18th. Each child will be participating, and the Sunday school scholars today will receive a copy of their part in the program. So that's going to be organized today. The first full practice will be next Sunday, December the 4th, at 11:30 a.m. The children will be practicing in this auditorium. We will all meet at 11:30 downstairs. So hopefully it's going to be a full session. Make sure that you're there early and get a seat. We'll sort of be a little bit cramped, but it'll be fine. Please note that on December the 11th, that's 2 weeks from today, they will have two practices, and one will be at 11:30, then they will have lunch, and then there will be a practice again until 2:30, getting ready for the Christmas program. Parents, we would really appreciate your help. Please encourage your children to learn their words and actions. We're looking forward to an excellent program this year. Pray and thank you in advance for all your help. And then the second program is regarding decoration. And it says this Wednesday, November the 30th, 12 noon, after the ESL class, we'll be preparing the window decorations for the basement. Can you come and help us? Please bring your gloves and pruning shears. Do you have any greenery, tree branches to contribute? We especially like cedar, pine, holly. You can leave your branches under the stairs in the closet where we store our folding tables anytime before Wednesday noon. Are you good at climbing a ladder? All kinds of questions here. Perhaps you can drop by on Wednesday and help us put some decorations around the main auditorium. You'll get an extra big thank you for your help. Any questions? The chief decorator is Marilyn Asavian, so you speak to her. I think those are all the announcements at this time, and we're just going to turn now to the Lord for his help. Let's pray, and then we'll consider the word together. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. We pray, Lord, regarding these events that are coming up. We're praying, Lord, that you will bless and bless abundantly. The Sunday school scholars need to be saved, Lord. And so many of our ESL contacts and other contacts have yet to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We pray that they will do so. We pray that you will bless all our outreaches. We thank you for Christmas, for the fact that our blessed Lord Jesus came, and for the fact that the scripture says that we've got to go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ was born. And so we pray that you'll help us as we would do that again this year. So just be with us now, Lord, as we turn to the word again. and encourage us today. Do your great work. We thank you so much for Jesus and all he's done for us. And we've been rejoicing in that in our meditations, in our worship. And now, Lord, we turn to the word to learn our responsibilities in the light of all the wonderful things you've done for us. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of 2 Peter, turn, if you will, toward the end of your Bible, 2 Peter chapter 1. Actually, we're going to start at the end and work back. So it's 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. The last verse of the book reads as follows. 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." The prayer of Peter for his recipients, for those who were listening to him and reading, the prayer was that they would grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come along to our family Bible hour. We bring the children because we realize that it is their responsibility to grow. They're young in their knowledge of many things. They need to grow in grace. How are they going to grow? Well, they're going to learn the truths of God, and then they're going to grow. And the verse not only says that it is Peter's prayer that they will grow in grace, it is also his prayer that they will grow in knowledge. We send children to school. We send them to university. We send them for lots of refresher courses as they go through life. Why do we do that? Because they've got to grow in knowledge. But interestingly, if you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, you will find that verse 15, he says, "Moreover," chapter 1, 15, "I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." He says in verse 12, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." What is the point of writing to somebody who knows that they might know? He's saying, "I'm writing to you, I'm writing all these things to you, you already know them, I'm writing them to you." And then he says at the end, "I want you to grow in knowledge." And the fact is that the Christian has to grow in knowledge, and he has to keep on growing in knowledge. Raise your hand if you already know the Bible well enough. Okay? And you're all listening, and none of you raised your hand. Okay? What's our problem? We don't know enough. The children have got to learn, but the parents have got to learn as well. The young have got to learn, but the old have got to learn as well. And so the apostles in Acts chapter 5, is it, or 6, I'm having trouble remembering, simply say that they have got to devote themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So there's much other work that has to be done by the saints in order, thank you very, very much, in order that the work of God carry on. The apostles had to continue to learn. Excuse me for my croaky voice this morning. Hopefully that will help. Maybe just a little. The apostles had to continue to learn. Paul says to Timothy, Timothy was the best, the greatest of all his students. He says at one point, I have no man like-minded who will care for your state. That was Timothy. What does he say to Timothy? Timothy, give attention to reading. Study. You've got to keep on learning. You've got to keep on learning in order to know. So why do we keep on coming to meetings? Why do we keep on reading our Bibles? Why do we diligently learn the truth of God? Because we have got to know, and we have got to know more. So 2 Peter chapter 1, please. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So what did he get? We got like precious faith. How did you get faith and the blessings of faith? Well, it says right there, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Because of his righteousness, we get faith and the blessings of faith. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. How do you get the knowledge? How do you get grace? How do you get peace? Well, you get grace and peace through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So if you wanted to have more peace, where would you get it? You get it from more knowledge, wouldn't you? And so the psalmist says, Psalm 119, great peace have they who love thy law. The implication would be, little peace have they who don't really care too much about the law. We want peace. You probably go through life as I do, and there are times when I have a little more peace than others, and there are times when things go sufficiently wrong that I just lose a certain amount of my composure and my peace. What's wrong? Well, circumstances are a problem, that's right. But if I had more knowledge of the Lord, I'd have more peace. I like grace. Do you like grace? How would you like more grace? Okay. Where are you going to get it? Through the knowledge of the Lord. We keep on coming. We keep on learning. We keep on reading our Bibles. We keep on studying because there is great peace and knowledge from those who love the Lord. Bruce, if you could greet the guests, please. Verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who hath called us to glory and virtue. That's interesting. There's that word knowledge again. What do we get through this knowledge, the verse 3 knowledge? Well, the verse is obvious. Through verse 3, we get this kind of blessing. We get all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Would you like everything that pertains unto life? Well, you say, yeah, I kind of like that. As a matter of fact, if I didn't have it, we'd be in real trouble, wouldn't we? We want all things that pertain unto life. Surely we do. Where do we get it? Through the knowledge. The knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. It's not just a knowledge of fact, but it's a knowledge of growth and a knowledge of calling. And if we're going to gain the knowledge that will mean that we have life the way the Lord intended us to have life, we've got to know his word sufficiently to get the blessings of life. But they're not limited to the blessings of life. These are all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Godliness, I find it hard to define, but it's really the life of It's the life of being like God, isn't it? How do you get that? Knowledge. 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 Do you have enough of the knowledge of God? Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, where are you going to get the great and precious promises? Well, you're going to get them through the knowledge, aren't you? That's what it says. Through the knowledge of the Lord, you will get great and precious promises. And it is encouraging to read your Bible. When you read it, are you like me? Do you sort of look out for the promises? When you get to the promises, you sort of smile and you say, hey, Lord, here's another one. Thank you very much. I'm going to spend, I would rather spend my time looking at the promises than a lot of other things. Sometimes people have actually write books on theology. And their doctrinal theology, it gets to be just a little steep and heavy going. It's good stuff. But studying the promises, well, that's just a little more encouraging. How are you going to get more knowledge of the promises? Well, you're going to get it through the Word of God, the knowledge of the Word of God. All right? And what is going to be the result of claiming these promises? Well, you're going to become a partaker of the divine nature. That's pretty significant. And what else? You're going to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. So what happens when you hang on to promises? Well, if you hang on to promises, why you become a partaker of the divine nature? What is the difference between promises and lust? Answer, not very much. Promises you think about, you long for, you lay hold on the things that God says he would give you. Lust is to think about and to reach out for, to lay hold on things that are bad. But the principle is very, very similar. And you will either think about one or think about the other, won't you? So you fill your mind full of the one. And in so doing, you empty your mind of the other. And the result is that instead of getting corruption, because that's what lust leads to, lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. So lust will lead to corruption. Just as getting hold of the promises in the same logical fashion will lead you to become a partaker of the divine nature. Godliness and the divine nature. The two are parallel, aren't they? Very close to one another. How do we get them? We get them through the knowledge. And so people keep on studying their Bibles. They keep on reading their Bibles. They keep on rereading their Bibles. Why? Because the blessings of God are associated with knowledge. The problems that I used to have when I was at university, when I was speaking to people, I would often chat with them and talk to them about the Savior. And I can remember doing this in the third year of university. And I would speak to some people and I'd say, do you know anything about the Bible? They say, yep. And then they would say, well, I would say, well, what do you know about it? Well, he said, I went to Sunday school. I said, well, that's marvelous. How long did you go to Sunday school? He said, well, I went to Sunday school until I was in grade 3. And what do you think about the Bible now? He says, I think it's nonsense. And I thought, isn't that strange? You got a grade 3 knowledge of the Bible and a third year university knowledge of whatever it is. But you're comparing the one to the other. And you're saying, well, of course, this doesn't hold up. Why doesn't it hold up? Because you don't know much about it. That's why. And we're going to have to stand through life. And if we are going to stand through life, we've got to have knowledge. All right. So that takes us down to the end of verse 4. Verse 5. And beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. I thought that we probably would have had enough in those first 4 verses, wouldn't we? You see, there's a long way to go in growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the foundations are there, why then you add these other 7 things to it. How do you add them? You add them on the basis of diligence. To what do you devote your diligence? A friend of mine once said to me that you can tell what's important to you. This is how you tell. What keeps you up at night? Some people say, well, I've got to. And there are various things that go on at night, but very often you can pretty much tell who you are by what keeps you up at night. And if it's business, then maybe that's what it's all about. If it's the things you're worrying about, then maybe that's what it's all about. If it's bad stuff, then that's what it's all about. If it's your Bible, that's pretty good. If you check out the great men of God, you'll find that they spend a long time in the Bible in the middle of the night. I was away last weekend, as you know. I was in the St. Catharines area of Ontario. The Lord had done a marvelous work in the St. Catharines area of Ontario, and just got lots of interesting stories that will come out quietly over time. I was in the Gospel Folio Press office. No, I wasn't. I was in the Everyday Publications office. It's just down the road, really not even that far, 100 feet away from the Gospel Folio Press office. And when I was in there, I saw a picture of Boyd Nicholson. I thought, isn't that strange? Why would they have a picture of Boyd Nicholson in here? And the answer is because Boyd Nicholson was a huge man of God, and he put his stamp upon St. Catharines, Ontario, and in a powerful way upon everything within 50 or 100 miles. And here was his picture beaming from a desk. I don't think he was on the wall. Ed Harlow's picture was on the wall, but he was on a desk. And I said, praise the Lord for that man. How did that man get to be that man? Answer, very, very early in the morning, every morning, he was on his knees reading his Bible. He decided he was going to go for knowledge of the things of God, and he did it with diligence. Now, there are 7 things that are to be added to the foundation of the knowledge and the blessings that flow from the knowledge of God, as we've got them in the first 4 verses. Beside this, add to your, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue really is courage. It's manliness. It's boldness to do what is right. Are you ever tempted to be just a little bit of a coward? I'm surprised I didn't see any hands go up there either. But the answer is yes. At least one of you is putting your hand up, so that's good. Yeah, we got a whole lot of opposite to courage in there. If you're going to be a man of God, if you're going to get the blessings of God, you've got to have courage. And add to courage, knowledge. We've already been there, haven't we? Okay? Courage is going to lead you back to more knowledge. Knowledge is the foundation in this passage. And then to knowledge, temperance. What is temperance? It's self-control. And if you're going to be, if you're going to have depth of knowledge, you're going to have a narrowness to things that are outside of the right knowledge. And so when you get to university, they're going to ask you to study something. And you say, no, thank you. I want to study everything. Okay? Well, you can take an introductory course in everything. You'll be there a long time and you'll never graduate. You've got to get more knowledge of something. And to get more knowledge of something, you've got to say no to other things. The self-control that says no to others will bring in the self-control for what is. The question is, what are we focusing in on? Number four is patience. That word is endurance. So you put these four together. There's courage and knowledge and self-control and endurance. And what are they going to lead to? They're going to lead to godliness. That's the focus, isn't it? The courage to godliness and the knowledge of godliness and the self-control to godliness and the endurance to godliness. And then the two others will follow, brotherly kindness and charity. And the brotherly and kindness and charity will not flow in value unless there's the foundation of godliness. And the foundation of godliness will not be great unless all these other things are under it. But by the grace of God, brotherly kindness and charity can flow and will flow. What would be the result of all that? Well, verse 8 says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's possible to have knowledge without fruitfulness. It's possible to have knowledge and be barren. Nothing really flows from the life. You got the knowledge, but nothing really flows from it. And you don't, wouldn't want to have that at all. The knowledge is going to result ultimately in fruitfulness and in blessing from you if godliness and brotherly kindness and true love are flowing from it all. It's the end of the package that is more fruitful than the beginning. On the road of the Christian life, where do you expect to be the most fruitful? At the beginning? In the middle? Or at the end? That's a good question, isn't it? And by the grace of God, we expect to be fruitful at the beginning and at the middle. And by the grace of God, more fruitful at the end. Surely, if I'm getting to the end, I ought to be more like the Lord Jesus than I was. Surely, if I get to the end, I ought to be of greater value everywhere I go than at the beginning. And so this verse says, verse 8 again, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Quite possible to begin well and not end well. And the only way you end well is to grow in knowledge and make sure that you add to that faith and that knowledge those seven things. Verse 10, wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these seven things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you want to have an abundant entrance? I'm not sure where it came from. Probably one of the great poets. But the story filtered down to me through my mother. And it was of the sailing ship. Having gone out to sea and fought the battle, and they're coming back. And the sailing ship comes into harbor victorious in full glory, sailing into the harbor. It was Charles Swindoll who mentioned it on a program that I heard a few years ago. He said that he was serving in the Marines, and he served overseas for many, many years. And their service was over. And they were on a battleship of some kind, cruising into California. They were all on deck. They were going home. Their service was over. And he said the band struck up. And they started to play. And the music was San Francisco, here I come, right back where I started from. Okay, now we don't usually preach those lines here at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel, but that's what they were playing. And he was standing on deck and overwhelmed by the emotion of it all. His service for his country was over. He was returning victorious and proud. The band, full volume, pulling into the dock. That's a better way than coming home defeated, isn't it? How are we going to enter into that glorious day that's soon coming? By the grace of God, we want to go out victorious, don't we? More importantly, we want to go in victorious, don't we? How are we going to do it? We're going to devote ourselves to knowledge and all the blessings that flow from it. And then we're going to add to that by the grace of God, courage, and add to that by the grace of God, all these other wonderful things that flow from it, knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. That's what we're going for. Lord, we want to thank you for the encouragements for the word of God. Lord, may we continue to grow in knowledge. We pray that you'll bless the teachers here at 16th, that they will teach in ways that knowledge will be imparted. We pray for each of us that we will listen diligently, that we might grow in knowledge. We pray, Lord, that we will put into practice the knowledge that we learn, that we will add to all of these things, the disciplines of life, that godliness, brotherly kindness, love, and fruitfulness will be the result. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.